From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
You know, Ursula, no matter how much preparation is done for the show every single day, and you and Chef do a lot of it, you never know what's going to be a hot topic. And the phrase, I love you, is a very hot topic on this text line right
very
now.
Very relatable.
Very relatable.
For some people, those words are very easy to roll off the tongue. And for others, you're just stuck. And it has so much weight that you don't use it very often.
Does your kids, everybody,
oh my gosh,
good with it?
Our boys are very good with it.
Are they?
And Mark is too, yes. Yeah. Even though he did not grow up hearing those words often. But... yeah, if you're around our family, I love you is thrown bandied about.
Yeah. I just want to tell you, like, even though I kind of envy families where it's very prominent, and then you probably would say, well, gee, why don't you change that?
I can't.
Tried. Really tried. But I can show you I love you.
And that's a beautiful thing, too, and people need those closest to you. Probably know that.
There you go. All right, Ursula, here we go. Agree to disagree, brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
On Monday morning, a Ford SUV crashed into construction scaffolding at 5th and Stewart in downtown Seattle. Tessa Corrigan lives nearby. She tells Cairo 7 TV that drivers are very careless in the area, and she said something in her interview that made my eyes absolutely fly open. She is so worried about her neighborhood that she's actually started recording everything every time she steps outside of her home.
I know we've started to wear a body cam for our safety, but it can be pretty crazy over here sometimes.
Gee, man, we've talked about, like, the dash cams in the cars. We've talked about the cameras on the highways.
Privacy.
How about body cams for average citizens?
No, Ursula, this is a privacy issue, right? You recorded me without my permission. Is that a problem? You know, it's interesting, Ursula, when she said it, I actually did the research on this one. Yeah. Didn't do nothing else today, but I did the research on this one. She did say in here, I didn't hear anything. But cars usually speed by here, and they are on their phones, and they're running red lights, distracted. A lot of the times, it happens at night. This is a familiar topic that we talk about on this show, how crazy it is out here on these roads. And the only way to stop this behavior is this right here, getting caught that way and also being fined and getting that ticket in the mail.
But body cameras, she's wearing it on her person.
So, like the referees are.
Yes. Yes.
And could you see yourself in the future wearing a body cam for your safety purpose?
Yes. Some of y'all crazy.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Okay.
Like Flava Flav, it's hanging off your neck.
Okay, wait.
She does have a few more things that would be valuable.
It's on our cars now. Some of you has got GoPros and all those things.
Fair.
But if you were able to film your experiences and some of the things that happened, first of all, I'm going to do a reality show. That's one. I would do it with that. But two, I believe that there are a lot of things, a lot of behavior that would be curtailed by having this happen. Why am I always on the side of being okay with people recording?
I'm not sure. I don't have the issue with her. If she wants to do that, more power to her. Just yesterday, we were talking about different things that I and many women in particular have to do to make sure that we're safe, whether it's going to the ATM, whether it's, you know, walking down the street, the different things that we have encountered that many men have not had to deal with in their lifetime. And many of us were sharing, you know, how many times men have exposed themselves to us, you know, just by the time we were 15, that kind of thing. If this woman who was interviewed feels that her life is safer because she has a body camera, more power to her. It's just not something that I would do this juncture.
Would you feel safer? How about some of y'all that go hiking out here? Would y'all feel safer?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going hiking by myself. I find it crazy that there are people, many people who do.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Me either. I ain't going hiking by myself.
You think
either.
You're in more danger, like, hiking through the wilderness than you are walking through downtown Seattle or any major urban metro the country?
Can I raise my hand?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel safer walking downtown Seattle.
So you know where you could go get help.
than in the wilderness.
Because for of some bears reason, or what?
I just don't feel as safe.
If something were to happen, there's no one there to witness it.
At least
that's the thing. Like, cameras are only good at one thing, not preventing crime, but catching people after it happens, right? So if you're looking for accountability, basically you're saying, I expect to get attacked. I just want my attacker to get caught. I find it nuts to wear a camera around you all the time. Like, if someone walks up to me on the street and they have a camera around their neck, a video camera recording at all time, I'm going to assume that they're an influencer, not just some random citizen that's wearing it for safety. I've never heard of this before, but I'm sure we're going to see more of it. Well, just found out this morning that Tacoma and Rainier Valley gave birth to perhaps the greatest male bodybuilder of all time. Phil Heath is his name. He's won 7 Mr. Olympia titles. And the Seattle Times ran a fascinating profile on him this morning. He's being featured in an upcoming documentary. I have very strong feelings about bodybuilding, but gee, how about you weigh in first? How do you feel about bodybuilding as both a sport and just in general?
Oh, boy. I get myself in trouble on a sweeping statement. First, I think that anybody that takes care of their body, I think that's a good thing. But I think like anything like body enhancements or that kind of thing, I think it can go too far, Ursula. And sometimes in the bodybuilding world, I look like, oh, and then I look like, oh, and the, oh, is it's like you just know that while your physique looks, oh, those are some big muscles, you know what it took to get that. You know there's a good possibility there's some things that went into your body that probably aren't as safe for your body, which is the reason why, and, you know, there's been some bodybuilders that not have not lasted long in society. You take wrestling, for an example, WWE and all those professions and those things. So I'm all for keeping your body right, but sometimes I think keeping your body and going too far, Ursula.
I agree with you. When I think of bodybuilding in general, I admire anyone who is going to spend a good amount of time pursuing a passion that they have. And in the case of bodybuilding, I mean, that requires a lot of discipline, that requires a lot of planning, that requires being able to not only have physical strength, but, you know, all these other talents that go into it.
Yeah.
And then I do think that there is, because for some people, like in many parts of life, you can never get enough and you're chasing this thing that is impossible and you just keep going and you keep going and everyone else around you sees that you've gone too far, but you don't see it for yourself and you still think there's one more thing I can do. It's kind of a lot of like when we as women will get plastic surgery and you just keep doing it and you keep doing it and you kind of get addicted to the whole thing.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's like your face is all not looking right and you don't see it and you just keep going. But everyone else looks and says, that's just gone too far. And I mean, I think it's just like everything in life. You can go too far with it.
I got to be honest. I can't stand bodybuilding. In fact, I object to it being portrayed so glamorously in our society because exactly it rises to the same level for me as plastic surgery addiction. And when it comes to like perfecting your body to an unhealthy level, we would never feature someone who has an eating disorder on the cover of a magazine as though like their quest for perfect, like this perfect thin body was something that other people should emulate. And if you look at bodybuilders of the past, what people looked like in the 30s or 40s or 50s compared to now, to get to what these people look like requires so much like chemical manipulation of your body that is not healthy. I find it kind of grotesque. I mean, it's amazing, but at the same time, why are we representing this as though it's some sort of physical ideal in our society? Like, I went to high school with a guy that's a bodybuilder. Like, he can't touch his own back. Mm. I'm not even kidding. And this is gym culture portrays this as something good. I think it's a horrible influence personally.
Yeah, I think it's good until it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Oh, well, building.
Not the Gene Ursula show, though. Oh,
yes, very good. We're all good here.
I've got a long way to go before I have to worry about too much bodybuilding.
I haven't looked at the text line yet to see if there are any dressage enthusiasts weighing in on this one.
Okay.
All right. Will more housing lead to lower prices? Portland-based DHM research asked people in Washington. 65% said no, that building more units of housing will help stabilize the price where I live. Ursula, what say you? Do you think we can build our way out of our crisis?
I think that obviously increasing supply to try to at least get closer to meeting demand is going to help. But the idea that only building more housing is going to address all the issues that we have currently with homelessness, I think is far-fetched. So I think it'll go some of the distance, but I think that there's so many other things, including drug treatment, mental health treatment, dealing with the wage gap, poverty level, all the other things that we bring up that contribute to the downfall of society. Those all need to be addressed in addition to the lack of housing.
I can't even argue with that. You know what I mean? I can't. Ursula, that was well said. I can't argue with that. I just want to add, though, add a little bit of this. More housing would really help. And it would really help to the tune of, this is why that one house that you've gone to bid on and put your bid on, it wasn't like 50 other buyers trying to get that house, 50 other bids, and then who ends up getting it? It's the person that had the cash that got it. So maybe we'd have, if we had more housing, more building and things like that, we'd have less of the outrageous bids on homes. So it would help, but I'm not going to argue with you. All those other things you said, I agree.
Yeah, it's an important component, I think, and I actually agree with this. It won't. But I think the only things that have consistently reversed trends in housing markets have been recessions, you know, stock market crashes, things like that. Mm. I mean, we even have the conversation on this show, like, would you root for a short-term recession to stabilize the cost of housing? Because that's what it seems what it takes. But let's move on. 1 in 3 college kids believe that a TikTok ban will negatively impact their grades. Because get this, folks, TikTok is not just, you know, fluff and content to sit on your couch and peruse. It's apparently educational videos that can break down in a short period of time complex educational principles. And college students say they use it all the time. Ursula, do you buy that?
No.
What?
I don't. As much as I love TikTok, it is not there for educational purposes. And I cannot imagine using it as a resource for whatever I would be studying in college. I would argue that a TikTok ban might actually enhance and improve your grades in college because you would be spending less time on TikTok. TikTok is a time suck.
For you, perhaps. Doesn't mean we need to ban it for me.
For a lot of people. Even TikTok recognizes that. And TikTok has that woman who keeps popping up saying, have you been scrolling for a while?
Wait, what? This is a thing?
Yes.
It's like AI lady that reminds you. It's time to engage in real life.
A real face that pops up and says, oh, you've been scrolling for a while. Time to take a break.
Ursula,
you need compression socks right now. You haven't moved your legs.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen this lady on TikTok.
BS. I see her multiple
times. That's very revealing.
No, wait.
Are you serious?
Now, y'all know I wouldn't lie for the sake of... I've never seen this.
Yeah. No, it pops up.
So what does she say? How does she say it?
Have you been encourages you to take a break from TikTok. I think the exact words are, have you been scrolling for a while?
What's the longest you think you've been scrolling at one time?
Oh, it's been hours. Late at night. I'm not proud of it.
Okay. So real quick. You are someone that has been in this news. I mean, every time I go somewhere, Ursula, people, you are very respected in the news game. So I'm trying to figure out.
It's not a news source for me, though.
No, I didn't.
It's pure entertainment.
I didn't say it's a news source for you.
Mm-mm.
But you said you don't see how someone can learn on TikTok and get context to different topics or be introduced. But at the same time, someone like you could stay on there for hours.
Great point.
So I'm trying to figure
I'll tell you what it would do well.
Yeah.
I'm just not buying the argument that the college students are making, like, ban TikTok and it's going to make my grades worse. I think there are other reasons you can use to argue against the ban against TikTok. What I'm trying to say, though, is that when what I could see is a college student saying, hey, it introduced me to some different ideas that I want to further research. And I'm going to move away from TikTok and look into it further to learn more about this. But TikTok, I mean, it's you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, a couple of minutes max.
I can look, I'm not a TikTok fan. That's not the place that I go to. You know that. Obviously, I've never seen the lady. You've seen the lady.
Oh,
not
no.
Me.
Jeremy in Falls City says, I've never seen her.
Okay. I've never seen the lady. But I will say this, Ursula. The youngsters do tell me that they get a lot of information on TikTok. Sometimes, oftentimes faster than we do on our other platforms. And they are introduced. And so if there is a particular topic or subject, they can put it in TikTok and they have all of these different angles on this one topic.
If you can get a makeup tutorial, a complex makeup tutorial in 60 seconds, why can't you have a logarithmic equation be explained in a way that your professor can't?
I think you can. Yeah. You know, okay, maybe you've changed my mind.
I
took a look at it. TikTok is rolling out. There was a story written on June 9th of 2022.
Yeah.
TikTok is rolling out more screen time controls that prompt users to take a break after a certain amount of uninterrupted scrolling. She seems to pop up a few times.
Okay. We're going to be talking about radical ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this idea, and it's a question. Are you open to allowing your children or your loved ones in elementary school to stay in school for this long? And when we tell you, I'm curious if you would agree with this. We'll do that next. It's Jen Ursula.
Back to the G and Ursula Show, our Tuesday morning edition. As always, we invite you to join us on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. I should mention that I stayed at Muckleshoot Resort last weekend, first time, and that is a beautiful hotel. I will say that.
What were you doing there?
Hanging out with, Mark. And also my friend Sharon, who you know.
Sharon always down. You got Long Live Mark down in Muckleshoot?
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes. But let's talk about one of the most difficult things to do as a working parent, and that is juggling your job and dealing with childcare. So there is now an elementary school in New York that is trying out this radical idea. So it's called Brooklyn Charter School, and it is open now for 12 hours a day. They start the morning at 7. And then they end after dinner at 7 p.m. All of this completely free. And it seems to be a popular idea. About 80 students have signed up for those longer hours. Enrollment is now close to 200. Now, you and I are out of this time frame. But I just remember how fortunate I was that until my mother-in-law couldn't do it anymore, it was either my mother-in-law or my parents who would help us with childcare. And the fact that I didn't have to do daycare when I was working crazy hours here was not only a big financial savings, but also such a benefit for our sons.
Sure.
And I tell her to this day, it was especially my mother-in-law, how much she impacted our sons' lives and our lives. Because of that. And it's stories like this where I think, a school that is open for 12 hours a day, I would imagine that a lot of people would love that.
Sounds awful.
It does sound awful. But I'm saying for some people, what's your choice?
No doubt about it.
Not working, I guess.
No doubt about it. But the thing about this topic is, sure, there's some folks out here that need that. But then there's some folks that don't need it, but they do it anyways. Let me explain. Mm. let's just say that in the NFL world, athlete world, now I'm not against having someone come into your nanny and things like that, but I see a lot of, did you really need the nanny? You know what I mean? A lot of that,
just
because
it's convenient.
Yeah. And so sometimes if you can, you will. And I just think, Chef, and you're going to be better at this than me, the thought of a child being somewhere for 12 hours sounds awful, especially when you have kids who don't all learn the same way. And maybe school's better today, but I know when I was younger, some of my behavioral issues were I can't sit down like little Sarah and little Joey the way that you want me to. I need activity. I need to get out and do things.
I'm going to guess that it's not all sitting in a classroom for 12 hours. There's no way you can do that.
You
would have to have activities.
I mean,
you
like
have to have
after school programs right now. They take them out to the playground. They do all kinds of stuff. I'm not a real big fan of this idea because it does sound awful for the kid, but like Alice is in daycare 9 hours, and she's not even three yet. And that's just because of like how our schedules work out. Now, if I was working two jobs, if my wife was working two jobs, but I mean, gee, like there are many ways that you can neglect a child. At least they're in a safe environment. There's a lot. I would think this is a lot more healthy than an 8 year old who spends 6 hours at school. Right. But they're walking to school by themselves in the morning. They come home after school and they're on the TV or on their tablet for hours after that.
Latchkey kids.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be getting at least some breakfast. They're going to get lunch, probably a couple snacks.
Well, there'll be
and a good
kids
dinner.
Around.
Right. And there's kids to play with. There's a social environment at least. And I think that this sounds better to me than kind of a daycare situation, because a lot of people don't have access to like a nice boys and girls club that can do after school or late care for.
That's what I was about. It's funny. You took the words out of my mouth. I love that.
Boys and girls club?
Ooh, I think that is the best for kids. And it's one of the things down in Pierce County, down there, is something that I pay attention to a lot. I don't see a lot of that around. And I think especially in unincorporated Pierce County, I think there needs to be more of that, because when you have the opportunity for kids to go, not only will they be meeting people, doing positive activities, I think more of that. And then we say all the time, well, what happened? Why are these 13 and 14 year old kids out here stealing cars? If we had more of those programs in different areas, we might see a decrease in some of the problems that we talk about in the top five stories of yours, Ursula.
I think you're exactly right. And again, I mean, I think that the idea of being there 12 hours a day, it's really just acknowledging that there are many families that can't do just the standard 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I've heard from families, and I remember hearing from families that would say, oh my God, I have to leave right now, or my kid is going to be stuck outside waiting for me.
Yeah.
And that stress of not being able to have them be in a safe place. Mm. I think that this would, you know, eliminate a lot of that. I mean, just talking about this though, just makes my heart ache a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it just reminds me of the time when I was working here crazy hours, 12, 14 hours a day. And my oldest son said one time that his happiest moments, one period of his childhood, was when he would see the lights of my car pull up to the driveway.
Oh.
And he'd be laying on his tummy, you know, just watching out the window, waiting for the lights to come. And sometimes it would be 7 or 8 at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's rough.
You know what I'm thinking about?
That's one thing I regret.
So in passing, Chef gave me the paper, right? And he gives it his paper, and all I see is 12 hours for kids in school. And I think this is subjective. I think people can say, I like it or I dislike it.
Of course, yes.
For me, I dislike it. And I told you right away, Chef, I wasn't for it, and I walked away from you. As I'm walking away, the first thing I thought about as I'm walking away from you, Chef, was this. I remember what it was like to come home from school. It was the best experience ever. I would come home. I had one of two meals. I either had the grilled cheese with the government cheese on top, or microwaves was just coming out, I had the fish sticks that you put there.
I can smell that right now.
I mean, and I had my, and then I had my, the A-Team silver spoons. Is anybody listening to me? Can you feel what I'm talking about right now? You know, your after-school snack along with your after-school shows was heaven. So when I think about a child being in school for 12 hours, I think, Chef, that child won't get that. Now, I don't know if y'all still had that, but life was good, y'all.
It is. Oh, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but yeah, to have to use that service would just be out of desperation.
Watch this.
Well, it's not just desperation, man. One more point on this. Yeah. A lot of people don't work traditional schedules, and schools don't work for them. Yeah. If you're in the hospitality industry, whatever, you start work at
great
4.
Great point.
Yeah, great point. All right, before we get out of here, do me a favor, because I want to do something during the break. Text in, what was your after-school snack? You can only pick one. Text us, 888-973-5476. What was your after-school snack that you can still smell and think about right now? I can't wait to see those come in. Coming up next, text messages, feedback, and then Ursula's Words to Live By. It's G and Ursula. Okay. Would you, in your opinion, this topic right here might be, in the G and Ursula show's history, maybe top 5 topics ever. And the topic was simple. By the way, it is a G and Ursula show. I ask you, what was your go-to snack for after school? And this text line blew up, Ursula. You start us off.
Well, Linda in Lacey says, Mrs. Paul's fish sticks. Fish sticks was a big thing.
Ooh-wee. Sarah in Marysville says, my favorite after school snack was those little Totino's pizzas. Wouldn't eat it now, but loved it then.
Okay.
Was that your thing?
That was, you know, our family didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, those little bits that are supposed to be meat chunks.
Yeah, yeah.
I still haven't deciphered what exactly they were.
Yeah.
But it was something about how that Totino's pizza hit.
Not real cheese either. It was like cardboard crust, but it's hot and good.
Now,
yes.
Now, okay. All right, here's one for you, Ursula. Here's another one. Bologna in the skillet. And you used to have to put the X in the middle of the bologna. So when you fried it, it goes to bubble up, right? You put it on the bread with some cheese and some jelly.
Oh.
So you get that salty sweet effect. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would come home and my mom would cook, but then she would just leave. I don't even know how I survived my childhood because she would sometimes leave pots with rice that might have been 3 days old. Just start digging in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liz in Gig Harbor says open-faced peanut butter sandwich with potato chips on top.
Ooh.
Janet got mine. She said for the longest time, mine was a whole box of Kraft mac and cheese. No wonder I was a chunky monkey in junior high.
Hey, man. Hey,
Kraft. The Costco-sized box. Just grab one of them things out.
Ursula, I was such a Kraft box macaroni and cheese fan that I didn't even stir it all the way up with the powder. I liked the taste of the powder.
Mmm.
With the noodles, yes. What? Wait.
Okay, Richard. A big one when I... imagine, though, after school snacks.
Yeah.
Okay, this is when I first moved to this country, too. So there were a lot of things I was trying for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And a big thing at that time...
What's that?
So we're looking at late 70s, early 80s.
Yes.
Corn nuts. Like, what was up with corn nuts?
I don't know. I can't relate. I can't relate. Well, now, how about Jason? How about Jay from Lacey says, pudding and graham crackers? Huh? Jay, I think that might have been a meal from the 70s, brother. I don't know about that one. What do you got next, Ursula?
How about Gino's pizza rolls with a bottle of hot sauce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pizza rolls used to hit.
Hot Pockets. You remember that era?
Yes, yes.
This is my era. After school snack, fruit by the foot, I'd watch Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck.
Oh.
That's my childhood right there.
Aww.
425 says homemade applesauce and homemade bread.
Okay, that's nice.
Now, whoever.
Ain't fancy.
They grew up in a 425, that's a well to do home right there. Homemade applesauce and homemade bread? Now,
Did you, Ursula, did you have any friends in your neighborhood that had all the snacks?
Oh, yeah.
What house had the snacks?
I always wanted to go to other people's houses. Chris from Sumner says, vegetable beef soup with so many crumbled crackers that a spoon would stand up in it. I like that.
Mmm. I didn't, you know, Ursula, growing up, I didn't do a lot of sweets in like cakes and cookies. I didn't do that.
I'm a sugar addict.
Really?
Yeah. Even then.
What about just the mixing bowl with a gallon of milk and the box of cereal just sitting by you on the couch?
Come on now.
The coffee table, you know?
Just
get a serving spoon.
I don't,
the size of your hand.
I know that there's sometimes you all listen to the Gene Ursa show and there's things that we disagree on, and which is fine, we agree to disagree. But can we agree on this? Is that there's no better meal watching cartoons than cereal. Can we agree with that? Can we agree?
I can hear you eating that
sure.
right now.
But we can't agree on which cereal.
No, we can't agree on which cereal, Frosted Flakes, but we can agree that cereal is the best meal with cartoons.
I have a craving for Rice Krispies all of a sudden.
Oh, me too. Well, now, was I only the one who would have top ramen sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
Was that not
I didn't get top ramen until I went to military school and everybody would have top ramen. I still didn't understand the craze on that. So I kind of missed out on the top ramen.
Sometimes even today, I will get a craving for top ramen. It's like, I need to go back to my college. That was big during college days. Mm-hmm. That was like survival.
There's a lot of people texting in saying corn nuts. Annette K says corn nuts was my major jam.
Thank you.
I'm judging.
I don't know how my teeth survived it either, Annette.
I'm judging y'all on the corn nuts.
Well, it was like, I didn't even like them, but yeah. I saw everybody else eating them. So I was like, okay, well, I might as well eat them too. It was the thing that you buy at the school store too.
Mm-hmm.
Corn nuts and nacho cheese Doritos.
Ooh.
Those were all new to me.
And they came out with the ranch corn nuts. Boy.
All right, Ursula. Let's get to it.
I love it.
Words to live by, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
I love this quote. Be happy and enjoy every moment of your life. Life is just too short to waste on grudges. Laugh when you can, apologize when you should, and here's the big one, let go of what you cannot change.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And do more reminiscing of the great after-school snacks and shows. Your favorite show again was what? Oh, Silver Spoons.
So that combination, that 18 Silver Spoons, that back-to-back, that was incredible. Love it when a good plan comes together. I love that show. But you know,
I'm a little older than you. I loved Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Little House on the Prairie.
That was good. Who was your crush, Ursula? Who was your crush? Did you have a crush?
None of them.
Because Thelma from Good Times was everything. Everything. You understand me?
Lisa Bonet.
Oh, yeah. All right. You know, I just want to say this as we get ready. We agree and disagree on this show a lot, and you know, politics comes up. But if the one thing I'm reminded of, topics like this shows you just how much we all have in common.
Yes.
After school snacks and cereals and all that kind of good stuff. So the next time you're in an argument about some politics, you're going crazy, ask that person you disagree with, hey, what was your favorite after school snack?
Use it as an icebreaker at a party.
Right? Be the cool person at the party. Ask about snacks. Ursula, thank you. Chef, thank you. Hey, Frank, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right. The Jack and Spike show comes up next. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.